So good morning, everyone. I'm filling in for Pastor Tim, and I hope we can all be blessed today by the Word of God. So the phrase that comes to mind in this day and age is Christ or chaos. And I think that aptly fits our world, Christ or chaos. It's one or the other. And I was talking to my mother yesterday, and she was lamenting the fact that a judge down in West Virginia had overturned some legislation, and they're going to allow boys who think themselves girls to participate in boys' sports. And she was asking me, "Well, why would or in girls' sports?" And she was asking me, "Why would any judge make that ruling, or why would anybody do that?" And I think we have an answer for you today of why people do what they do, and why the world does what it does. So I want to talk today about peace with God and the importance of that to the believer. And there's three areas I want to talk about. I want to talk about why we need peace with God, and I want to talk about how we get peace with God, and thirdly, I want to go over a few of the benefits of having peace with God. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Romans 1, we're going to be going through 18 through 32 here to begin. And I'm going to jump to three different areas in Romans here, so I'm going to try to keep the pace up a little bit so we don't run too long. But Romans 1, 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged their relations, natural relations, for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So Paul is telling us the nature of man here in Romans 1:18 through 32. And this is man apart from Christ, and this is why people need peace with God. And there's five points I want to hit on here as we go through this, why we need peace with God. So we're going to start in 1:18. And the first point is, we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So we, apart from Christ, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You know, people love their sin. You know, people constantly attempt to suppress the truth, but holding steadfast or clinging to their sin. Right? They enjoy their sin. They don't want to be bothered with the righteousness of God. Man has a natural, built-in, compelling desire to suppress and oppose God's truth. And this comes from our sin nature, from being in Adam. You know, we're all in Adam or in Christ, and this comes from being in Adam. And, you know, one of the examples I think of is, you know, the evolution creation debate and suppressing the truth of God. You know, we have some of the smartest people in the world on the side of evolution and the Big Bang, and in order to avoid acknowledging the Creator God, you know, they will argue that something came from nothing. You know, they will suppress the truth of God so much that they will argue that something came from nothing, just to avoid acknowledging the Creator God. So Paul goes on and tells us a little more about this in 19 and 20. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his visible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. And Paul's talking about natural revelation here, what we can see from creation, what we can perceive. The entire natural world bears witness to God through its beauty, its design, its complexity, its symmetry, and its usefulness. And if you read back through scriptures, you know, Paul tells us we're without excuse. I mean, even the pagan nations acknowledged that there was a God. They may not have acknowledged the one true God, but they knew there was a creator. They knew there was a God. You know, the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Egyptians, rebels at the Tower of Babel acknowledged that there was a God. The inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah acknowledged that there's a God. So no one can say that God has left insufficient evidence of his existence and character. The theologian Augustus Strong had a quote that I'm going to read about this. Quote, "The scriptures both assume and declare that the knowledge that God is universal. God has inlaid evidence of that fundamental truth in the very nature of man, so that nowhere is he without a witness," end quote. So, first reason we need peace with God, we need peace with God because apart from God, we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Paul goes on in 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. So second reason why we need peace with God. We know God, but we do not honor him as God. This is apart from Christ. This is why man needs peace with God. So man knows there is a God, but man suppresses the truth about God and refuses to honor God because man wants to be his own God. Man wants to be in control. Man wants to make the rules. Man wants to carve out his own path without any interference from the God he knows exists. So he suppresses the truth about God and refuses to honor him as God. Man rejects God's laws, God's truth, God's word. In doing so, man refuses to give God the honor he deserves. Right? So they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So the result of not honoring God is futility and foolishness. To reject the greatest reality and origin of all truth in the universe makes all of our pursuits, accomplishments, achievements inconsequential. So we as men, we can't have wisdom, we can't have meaning, we can't have truth apart from God. Therefore, not honoring God as God results in futility and foolishness. So the second reason we need peace with God, we need peace with God because we do not honor God as God. Paul goes on in 22 and 23. "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." Claiming to be wise, they became fools. So David says in Psalm 14:1 that men who deny God and his truth are fools. It does not matter how brilliant, how wise, how successful a person is. If that person does not understand the purpose of their life, they are a fool. So, what is the purpose of life? Well, the answer, to be conformed to the image of Christ and to glorify God, full stop. That's it. To be conformed to the image of Christ and to glorify God. That is our purpose. That is our purpose as men, children of God. So everything in my life and everything in your life as a believer flows from that reality. We need to be conformed to his image, and we need to glorify God. So claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So the third reason why we need peace with God is we exchange the glory of God, the glory of the immortal God, for idols. Right? We exchange the glory of God for idols. We see this played out with every false religion in the world. The fake religions of the world, or the false religions of the world, substitute a God of their own making in place of the immortal, one true God. And this goes for all of them. They all stumble at the stumbling stone, which is Christ. Also, pride can often be an idol for man. Man thinks in his heart that he can do enough good to be right with God. Man thinks that he can somehow earn his own righteousness. The scripture tells us that apart from Christ, no one does good, no, not one. We can't do enough to be reconciled to a holy God. All our works are like filthy rags in the sight of God. So everyone apart from Christ, you know, those who are in Adam, they've all set something up in their lives to take the place of where God rightly belongs as Lord of their life. Some examples of that would be false religion, their jobs, their careers, material possessions, even family can take the place of God and become an idol in our life. So if God isn't Lord of your life, then something else is. So the third reason we need peace with God, we need peace with God because we exchanged the glory of God for idols. Paul goes on in 24 and gives us some consequences here of exchanging the glory of God for idols, right? Suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, not honoring God as God. He says, therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. So here we see God remove his restraining hand as a consequence for suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, for not honoring God as God, and for exchanging the glory of God for idols. So Paul's telling us sin and denial of God has consequences. So 25, we find our fourth point of why we need peace with God. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who's blessed forever. So the fourth reason we need peace with God is we exchange the truth about God for a lie. Apart from Christ, we exchange the truth about God for a lie. If we don't serve God, who is the arbiter of all truth, if we don't serve God, who is the source from which all truth flows, if we don't worship and glorify God, who is the one being that is worthy of worship and glory, then we are living a lie. Anytime we as humans manufacture, invent, position something in our lives to take the place of God, we are lying to ourselves. Paul has already shown us that we know that there is a God, but we choose to suppress that fact. A man left to his own accord will always choose option B. Man apart from God, man apart from Christ, is never going to choose God. He's always going to choose something else. And Scripture tells us that. Men deny God what is rightfully his and bestow it upon another. So we need peace with God because we exchange the truth about God for a lie. And because we exchange the truth about God for a lie, Paul tells us in 26 and 27, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women, and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. So consequences of exchanging the truth about God for a lie. Paul goes on in 28. And here we find our fifth reason of why we need peace with God. Man apart from God has a debased or depraved mind. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So the debased or depraved mind of man is geared toward doing what is improper or sinful. And Romans 8, 7 to 8 tells us that the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So Paul goes on here in 29, 30, and 31 and gives us some characteristics of a debased and depraved mind, of a mind set on the flesh. He says they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That is man, apart from God, with a depraved and debased mind, a mindset on the flesh. So Paul finishes in 32, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. You think you see that today in the world when you look around? We have parades for some of this. So we need peace with God because we have a debased or depraved mind. So how do we get peace with God? We know there's a problem, right? We know we need it. Paul just told us what we are apart from Christ, what the world is. And Paul tells us, we who by nature are enemies of God stand condemned under the wrath of God. He tells us that in 1:18. We stand condemned under the wrath of God because we suppress the truth and unrighteousness. We stand condemned because we know God but do not honor Him as God. We stand condemned because we exchange the glory of God for idols. We stand condemned because we exchange the truth about God for a lie. And we stand condemned because apart from God, we have a debased or depraved mind. But there is a solution. And Paul begins to tell us that in Romans 3:21, where he starts to talk about justification by faith and how we can be saved. But I want to flip to Romans 5:1, actually. Romans 5:1. And find out how we get peace with a holy God. So Paul tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the therefore there, so we need to back up and look at 4:25. What's Paul talking about? Coming off of 4:24, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Right, so we can actually read 4:25 and 5:1 as, because Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ delivered up for our trespasses, meaning the penalty for sin That was due you. That was due me. Christ willingly went to the cross and took upon himself, paying the penalty for your sin. He was raised for our justification, meaning that God raised him on the third day, showing that he accepted his sacrifice for sin. Christ was an acceptable sacrifice for the sin of the world. He came, he lived a sinless, perfect life. He willingly went to the cross in place of us, died for our sins, was raised on the third day, showing that God accepted his sacrifice for sin. And that's what it means by he was raised for our justification. Since this happened, since Christ was delivered up for our trespasses, since he was raised for our justification, right? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what's it mean to be justified by faith? Well, justified is more of a legal definition, a legal term. It means to be made right. It means to be made right, and that's what happens when we are justified by faith. When God, in his infinite grace and mercy, takes your heart of stone, gives you a heart of flesh, grants you saving faith and repentance. You turn from your sin, you turn to God, you put your faith in Christ. You are no longer condemned in the eyes of a holy God. You are justified. You are looked upon as righteous. You are made right with God. Instead of being condemned and under the wrath of a holy God, we are now justified. We are righteous. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and God looks upon us as we live the life that Christ lived, this perfect, sinless life. We have the righteousness of Christ. It's a great trade-off. So Paul tells us this is how we get peace with God. It's the simple gospel message that Christ died for us, and we need to put our faith in him. So now that we have peace with God, we no longer suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Instead, we embrace the truth God has revealed. We embrace the word of God, and we love the law of God. It is no longer burdensome to us. It becomes a natural overflow of our life. Now that we have peace with God, we honor God as God. Our minds are no longer futile. We have understanding. The truth is ours. We have wisdom and knowledge. We are able to see God as he is revealed in Christ. As conquering king, exalted high priest, intercessor, savior. Now that we have peace with God, we are no longer fools. We embrace the glory of the immortal God. We now seek Christ in his righteousness. We love God and his law and no longer cease to replace it with idols. Now that we have peace with God, we no longer exchange the truth about God for a lie. Our minds are no longer debased or depraved. We now have the mind of Christ, and the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. We believe the word of God. We believe the promises of God. We see God's sovereignty and our own inability. So having peace with God changes us. We have gone from being condemned under the wrath of the Almighty God to being declared righteous. We are now sons and daughters, adopted sons and daughters of God. We receive peace with God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So we need peace with God because by nature we stand condemned under the wrath of a holy God. By nature, we suppress the truth on unrighteousness. By nature, we do not honor God as God. By nature, we exchange the glory of God for idols. By nature, we exchange the truth about God for a lie. And by nature, man, apart from God, has a debased or depraved mind. We receive peace with God through the atoning work of Christ on the cross. Peace with God comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So if we have peace with God, what are the benefits to a believer? Well, there's many. I'm just going to run through three of them here real quick today to finish up. And we're going to be in Romans 8. We're going to be in Romans 8. Romans 8, 1. It's our first benefit to having peace with God. Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So why is there no condemnation anymore? You know, Paul here is wrapping up his argument from the previous handful of chapters of how we are justified by faith. Right? It's no longer through, you know, he's telling these people who thought it was through works of the law, it's not through works of the law. It's not through your lineage. It's not through being a descendant of Abraham. It's by faith. And that's what Paul's been explaining in the last few chapters. So the verse could actually be read, because we are justified by faith, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is a victorious statement for those who have peace with God. No condemnation. We are no longer condemned. We are no longer under the wrath of a holy God. And we are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ. The great exchange, which we take for granted, but we shouldn't, right? Christ takes our sin, and we receive his righteousness. Very lucky are we, right? Very lucky are we. Second benefit to having peace with God. First, no condemnation. The second, we'll find in 8:28. Romans 8:28. Benefit of having peace with God. Paul says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So the second benefit of having peace with God is this. And this verse is not talking about earthly comfort. It isn't referring to health, wealth, prosperity by any means. So what's Paul telling us? Paul is telling us that your success, your failure, your health, your sickness, your trials, your tribulations, your times of prosperity, your times of need, all things in a believer's life are being used by God to draw us to him. And this is the good that it's talking about. What greater good could there be than to be drawn to God, right? All things are being used by God to conform us to the image of Christ so that we can be image bearers of Christ and for the purpose of bringing us to final glorification. So we're drawn to God. God is using all things to draw us to him. Good or bad. God is using all things for good for those who have peace with God for the purpose of making us Christ-like and so that we may finish well. And that's something we as believers need to keep in mind. Finishing well, it's important. So no condemnation is a benefit of having peace with God. We're drawn to God through the good and the bad. It's a benefit of having peace with God. The last one I want to go over is in Romans 8, 38 through 39. Benefit of having peace with God. Paul says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, Paul is giving those who have peace with God this promise. Nothing will ever separate us from the hand of God. Nothing can take the righteousness that Christ wrought for us from us. It's guaranteed. Once we have it, it's ours. And the good work God began in us, he will finish. It's the benefits of having peace with God. We are no longer condemned before a holy God. We are drawn to God through the good and the bad. And we have assurance that God will keep us. So we need peace with God because we stand condemned under the wrath of a holy God. We stand condemned because we suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because we do not honor God as God, because we exchange the glory of God for idols, because we exchange the truth about God for a lie, and we stand condemned because apart from God, we have a debased or depraved mind. We receive peace with God through Christ's atoning work on the cross. Through faith and repentance, we are justified, declared righteous in the eyes of God. And the benefits of having peace with God are no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No condemnation. All things are being used by God to draw us to him and to conform us to the image of Christ. And lastly, nothing will separate us from the love of God and the good work that God began in you, he will finish. So peace with God is what the world needs. That's why we need to share the gospel. That's why we need to be image bearers of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. And just ask that you bless us this week and that we can be image bearers for you. Amen.